This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Toolbox for Life. In this series, Pastor Rick teaches you four skills you need to succeed, skills that will equip you to be more effective as you lead in your home, work, school, and community. In just a bit, we're going to let you know how you can get the Toolbox for Life DVD study kit. This kit features four video lessons by Pastor Rick and is perfect for your solo Bible study or for use with a small group. Go to PastorRick.com while you listen today to find out more. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Maximizing Your Strengths.
The Bible says this, Jeremiah chapter 1. Before I shaped you in the womb, this is God talking. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, in other words, took your first breath as a baby, I already, he says, had holy plans for you. Now, I want you to circle the word shaped. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. And before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Did you know that God determined your life in advance and he shaped you in advance? And by the way, this is why abortion is wrong. It short circuits God's plan. God's plan for your life doesn't start the moment you take a breath. God's plans for your life started the moment he thought you up and decided to use the DNA of your parents to create you. And it short circuits God's plan. God's plan for your life didn't start the moment you were born. It started before you were born. And the Bible says, he said, I shaped you in your mother's womb. Now, your shape reveals your purpose in life. If you want to know what you're here on earth for, you got to look at your shape. In architecture, we have a phrase that says, a form follows function. You may have heard this term. And if you go and you want a building built and you tell an architect, I want to build a building, he will say first, or she will say, tell me what you want to do with it. What's the function? And then form follows function. For instance, the building here at Lake Forest we're in right now, was the function of it is to hold a large crowd. And so it was shaped, it was formed to fulfill a function. In architecture, form follows function. But with human beings, it's the exact opposite. Function follows form. In other words, if you want to know what your function is in life, what you're supposed to do with your life, you got to look intently and deeply at how God wired you. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Your shape reveals your purpose. I mean, anybody here have gills? No. So you weren't made to swim underwater without a scuba tank. Anybody here got wings? No. And that's why it takes a machine to help you fly. You weren't shaped for those things. Now, the Bible says very repeatedly that God planned every day of your life even before you were born. You are not an accident. Your parents may not have planned you. I've told you this many times, but God did. And it doesn't matter whether they were good, bad, or indifferent parents, or you never even knew your parents. God knew that they had just the exact DNA, 23,000 chromosomes each, that would create you, and God was more interested in making you than he was in their parenting skills. And God wanted you alive, and nobody else could have made you, you. So he used even flawed, imperfect people to make you. Now, the next verse, Psalm 139, I want you, as I read this aloud, to circle all of the verbs, okay? Let me read it to you. Here it's on the screen. You, Lord, made my whole being. Circle the word made. You formed me, circle formed, in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me, there's another made, in an amazing and a wonderful way. You saw, he saw, there's a verb. You saw my bones being formed, there's another verb. As I took shape, there's another, in my mother's body. When I was put together, circle put together, when I was put together there in your mother's womb, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. And I want you to write underneath that verse, God was intimately involved in my birth. He made you, he formed you, he shaped you, he planned you, he saw you. This is not something where God just said, oh, another baby's been born. No, God was intimately involved in your personal birth. He saw you, he made you, he planned you, he created you, he formed you, he shaped you. God was intimately involved. Now notice in that verse, he says, I planned every day of your life. We don't get to choose the day of our birth, and we don't get to choose the day of our death. It's God's timing. Today, there are many people trying to choose the day of their own death. That's called playing God. We don't get to choose when we're born, and we don't get to choose when we die. And when we do, we're trying to play God. God is God, and you're not. Now, nearly 30 years ago, those of you who've been around for any length of time at Saddleback know, I came up with a little acrostic, S-H-A-P-E, five things that describe how God shaped you, why you are you, what makes you you. The five things that make you you, S, spiritual gifts, what am I gifted to do? Heart, what do I love to do? Abilities, what am I naturally good at? Personality, who do I like to do it with and how do I like to do it? Routine, variety, together in a group, by myself. And then the E in shape that shapes your life for your purpose is experiences. And of course, God uses all kinds of experiences in your life. Now, the first experiences he uses to shape you are your family experiences, good ones and bad ones. God can use them both for good in your life, even the bad ones, if you'll give him all of the pieces. And he'll use family experiences to shape you. He will use educational experiences to shape you in school. And I'm talking about both good and bad. If I were to ask you to raise your hand and I were to say, how many of you were hurt in school? Every single hand would go up. Everybody has been hurt in school by something somebody said to you or something somebody did to you or a comment a teacher made. It's just part of life. You're going to be hurt in life. God can even use that to shape you. Spiritual gifts and heart, ability, personality, and experiences. Vocational experiences, your job. Spiritual experiences, church, retreat, Bible studies, a quiet time with the Lord. But the number one kind of experience that God uses to shape you for your purpose in life, hate to tell you this, painful experiences. More than anything else in life, God uses painful experiences in your life to get your attention and to shape you. God whispers to us in pleasure. He shouts to us in pain. Pain is God's megaphone. I can't tell you how many people I've heard were going this direction until all of a sudden they got in pain and now they're going a different direction. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. And so God even uses pain for good in your life. He doesn't have to cause it. There's plenty of pain in the world, but he can bring it for good. Let me show you a couple verses. Deuteronomy 11, verse 2 says, remember what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences, circle the word experience, experiences with him. God wants you to learn from your experiences, not to be bitter, but to be better. And Romans 8:28 says, all, circle the word all that happens, that means the good and the bad, every part of it, all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God. Now, this is a conditional promise. Everything is not good in the world. We know, it doesn't even say that. Not everything is good. Cancer is not good. Rape is not good. Terrorism is not good. Evil is not good. Suicide is not good. There are a lot of bad things in the world that are not good. And the Bible doesn't say it's all good. It says all things that happen to us are working for our good, not for everybody. Everything is not working for good in the life of everybody. It's only working for good in the life of those who love God and give him all the pieces. Say, God, can you bring good out of bad? Can you turn a crucifixion into a resurrection? Can you turn darkness into light? Can you turn evil into good? Can you do something with the mess in my life, even my bad decisions? God says, yes, I can do that. Now it says the key is it's working together. It's got to be mixed in. I could go to my kitchen this afternoon and pull out a can of Crisco and start eating it. It wouldn't taste good. I could crack a couple of raw eggs and eat them. That wouldn't taste good. I could take a thing of salt, start pouring it down. It would be very bitter. I could take some flour and I could eat the raw flour and it would be very dry. I could even take some vanilla and drink it pure vanilla and it would be bitter. But I can put that in the mix and it becomes a cake. I'm hungry. Okay. That's all the sermon you need. Let's go out to lunch. Okay, all right, now here we go, And the fact is, the point is there are individual events in your life that are bitter to your taste. You know what I'm talking about. But in the mix, God can make a cake. Does that make sense? God can bring good out of bad. And it's even some of the most tasty stuff is when you put sweet and bitter together. And salty and sweet and, you know, vinegar with this. And you go, wait a minute. How is that? It's in the mix. All things are working together if we love God in our experiences. Now, this is your shape. What I want to spend the rest of our time on is how do you maximize your shape? And you got to do four things. Write these down. The first thing I have to do to maximize my strengths to become what God made me to be. First thing is, obviously, discover it. I've got to discover my shape. You can't use a gift that you haven't discovered. You can't use a personality you don't understand. You can't grow on your experiences if you haven't discovered them. So until you start discovering your shape, you're going to live what I call a 4F life. Frustration, fear, fatigue, and failure. Frustration, fear, fatigue, and failure. If you have in your life a sense of frustration or fear or fatigue or failure, it means you are not operating in your shape. You're not in the J zone, the joy zone. You're not being what God made you to be. You may be in a job that's totally ignoring the way God shaped you, and you've got frustration, fear, fatigue, and failure. It's like fitting a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit. Now, how do I discover how God shaped me for my purpose in life? Two things. Write these down. Number one, first, by examining my past. By examining my past. One of the ways to know God's will for your future is by looking at your past. Not at the events that happened to you, but at the things that you were good at. Galatians 3, verse 4 in the Bible says this. You have experienced, that's what we're talking about, you've experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? God says, I don't want you to waste your experiences. I want you to learn from them. The fact is, God has been working in your life since your birth. Actually, even before you were born. God started working in your life long before you knew there was a God. He started working in your life long before you accepted Christ into your heart. He's been working to shape you for the purpose he made you for, your life mission, from the very beginning. And so you need to go back, and here's what the Bible says, Galatians 6:4. Everyone should examine, circle the word examine, examine his own conduct. Not somebody else's, not your parents. Examine your own conduct. In other words, what are you good at and what are you not good at? Then he will be able to take the measure of his own worth with no need to compare himself to others. God says, you don't compare yourself to others. What did my sister do? What's my brother good at? What's my dad, my mom good at? Forget that. You look at your own past, you examine your own conduct, and then you can take a full measure of your own worth. Here's my homework for you. Pastor Rick's homework assignment this week. I want you to take a half an hour this week and sit down with a piece of paper, just a blank piece of paper, and make a rule it off by every 10 years. The first 10 years, you know, grade school. The second 10 years, junior high and high school. Third year's your 20s, and then 40s for how many, decades you've lived. And then I want to ask you to try to do a life inventory. Now, what does that mean? It means you do exactly what that verse says, examine your own conduct. And what you do is you look and you say, what was I good at each stage in my life? And what did I enjoy doing at each stage in my life? Here are the two things. I'm good at it, and I enjoy doing it. Now, there are some things that you're good at and you don't enjoy. Don't worry about that, okay? And there's some things, by the way, that you enjoy and you're not good at. I mean, many of you don't know that before I was a pastor, I was a worship leader. I played guitar and drums all my life, had garage bands all the time growing up, junior high, high school, and college. And I actually started off leading worship because I have a passion and I love to sing. The only problem was nobody liked to listen to it. So I loved to do it, but I wasn't good at it. And I didn't have the skills for that. So the key thing is to say, what am I good at and what do I love to do? And I want you to look for patterns in your life, because if you were good at it at an early age, you're going to be good at it later on in life. A kid who's good as a soccer player at 10 is going to be a good and even better soccer player at 20. Because there's just natural ability that's coming out there even at an early age. Look for the patterns in your life. When I was a little boy, and I was called Ricky, I was a collector, and I loved to collect things. I collected coins, I collected stamps, I collected rocks, I collected shells, seashells, I collected chicken bones. I'm not kidding. I made a necklace out of wishbones. It looked like some tribal chief or something. I collected different kinds of horseshoes. And, you know, when I look back on all, and we used to call it, my mom and dad would call it Rick's Valuable Property. And my room was filled with all kinds of collections of stuff as a little boy. And what I liked the most about that was not the collecting part, but the categorizing. That goes with that, and that goes with that. And I could see things early on. Those four things go together, and those five things go together. And I was in an early, I didn't know the words, I was a synthesizer, a simplifier, and a categorizer. And I was going, that goes with that. And as a little boy, I was doing this. Today, many, many decades later, I'm still doing the same thing, only I do it with ideas. And so what I do is I look at what's going on, and I read deeply in the world. I read the sciences. I read botany and zoology and physiology. I read psychology. I read history. I read the arts. I read behavioral sciences. I read politics. Of course, I'm in God's Word, reading it constantly, over and over and over. And then what I do is I see all these ideas. I go, oh, that idea goes with that one, and that idea goes. I'm now a collector and a categorizer and a synthesizer and a simplifier of ideas. And so then I come to church and say, here, four of these. Now, you know, that looks pretty simple. You try that. You try making that every week for 35 years. Okay? Because you may hit a home run this week. Next week, you're at bat in six more days. And it's hard making something simple. Einstein said, you don't really understand something until you can simplify it. But that's what I was wired to do. I was wired to take very complex things and make them sound very, very simple. And it showed up in my life since as a little boy. So you look for the patterns in your life. Now look at this verse on the screen. The Bible says, try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities. Now, a sane estimate says, I don't think I'm the best in the world, but I'm not the worst in the world either. I'm just good at this. And the Bible says you do it and say, I'm good at this without comparing yourself to anybody else. So the first thing you have to do in discovering is to examine. The second thing is by experimenting. By experimenting with different tasks. If you're in your 20s, my biggest advice to you, more than college or anything else, is this. Try as many different things as you can, as early as you can, to see what you're good at. Because you're not going to know you're good at it until you try it. And you go, ah, that didn't, I didn't like that. I didn't like that. That wasn't good. Oh, that's good, but I really like this, and I'm good at it, and I'm fruitful, and I'm fulfilled. And so you just start trying stuff. And you just look for, in church, you look for a place to volunteer. God, some people are sitting waiting for God to say, I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do with my life. It isn't going to happen. You just got, God does not steer a parked car. You got to be moving. You can't steer a parked car. You can only move. So just start moving. Do anything. Volunteer for anything. And as you start volunteering, then God will go, hey, this is what I want you to do with your career. This is what I want you to do with your life. And you'll start understanding. And by experimenting, just try out a bunch of options. There is no test that you can take that will explain your S-H-A-P-E, how God wired you, how there's no test. The reason why is because every test is standardized and every human being is unique. The whole idea of shape is there's nobody else like you in the world, so you couldn't take a standardized test and find out what is your unique shape.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the truth is, sincere desire and determination alone are not enough to succeed in life. Many people will work hard, but it's not all about working hard. It's all about working God's way. And the Bible is full of instruction to help us. That's why Pastor Rick put together Toolbox for Life, a 4-session video study kit to help you discover and develop 4 essential success-building skills found in the Bible. Skills that will equip you to be more effective as you lead in your home, work, school, and community. When you give a gift to support the ministry of Daily Hope, we'll send you the Toolbox for Life study kit, complete with a 4-session DVD and a workbook, to say thanks for partnering with Pastor Rick to take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. Be sure to request the Toolbox for Life study kit when you give a gift today. It's perfect for both personal and small group study time. Get yours right now by going to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. Or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to tell you about Diana. Diana's a nurse, and she helps people every single day when they're facing their most difficult times. Diana wrote me this: listening to Daily Hope has not only helped me face challenges in my journey as a new nurse, but it's also provided me words of hope to impact the lives of all my patients and even their families. The toughest thing most of us deal with is the loss of a loved one. And learning more about God's love through Daily Hope has allowed me to share with many, many people about the hope and the trust and the love that we can find in our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to God for using you as an instrument for bringing me and many others to a daily hope in Jesus. Well, Diana, I just can't thank you enough for writing me. I love receiving these testimonial letters. I'm glad that your patients and their families that you take care of have somebody like you to walk with them through the tough times they go through when they are ill. Thank you so much for sharing God's promises with the people as they face their difficulties and even death. I want you to know that the promises of God are the best news that we can receive ever during our times of illness. And Daily Hope is here to support you in your ministry to others. God bless you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.